This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a musical trek back to the days of the speakeasy supper clubs, an intimate evening with an acclaimed jazz pianist, or an international piano competition, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The historic Blue Room comes alive as the Roosevelt New Orleans celebrates its 125th anniversary with the Great American Speakeasy Supper Club. Dinner dancing and musical performances from the Great American Songbook will fill the bill with headlining guests, including singer-songwriter David Damiani and the No Vacancy Orchestra. David joins us by phone from Atlantic City, and the Roosevelt's Director of Catering, Earl Lozana, is here in the studio. Hello and welcome to Inside the Arts.
How are you today?
Thanks for having us.
This sounds like fun. Earl, let's begin with you. You are taking us back in time to the days of the speakeasy. Just what is a speakeasy and how did that name come about?
Well, the Blue Room has been in the hotel for decades. It opened in the mid-1930s, 1935, and in those days, performers throughout the country would travel and perform in rooms much like the Blue Room. There's a host of entertainers that have spent some time in that iconic room, from the likes of Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, Carol Channing. The list does go on. The Blue Room was an actual event room until the early 1990s. We saw Lena Horne and Joel Grey, Ray Charles, and Brenda Lee. Guests would come to the Blue Room and enjoy dinner with a number of these individuals performing, and then there would be a later show. So there were two shows a night for decades and decades and decades until the early 1990s.
This is one of the most historic hotels in the country?
Indeed. The hotel opened in 1893 as the Grunewald Hotel and was that particular hotel until 1923, where they added on an annex to the hotel, doubled the size of it, and renamed it as the Roosevelt Hotel. So it stayed the Roosevelt Hotel until the mid-1960s. And without talking too much about the storm, things happened, and our ownership purchased the hotel, put $180 million or so into it, and restored that beautiful, beautiful hotel into what it is today.
Wow. Now, the word speakeasy, when I hear that, it takes me back to the days of Prohibition. Is that what's meant by this particular event?
Well, the hotel did indeed have a speakeasy in its premises when it was the Grunewald Hotel. And in 1908, it was called the Cave, and it was located in the basement of the hotel, which is an oddity in New Orleans because we're not known for our basements. And it was one of the first nightclubs in the country. And this supper club came with waterfalls and stalagmites and stalactites and chorus girls dancing to Dixieland jazz bands. So it actually was a dinner theater in the cave of the hotel. That lasted until the late 1920s. I think 1930 might have been the time when that came to an end. And then 5 years later is when the Blue Room came online.
Come and take a trip on my rocket ship. We'll have a lovely afternoon. Kiss the world goodbye, and away we'll fly. Destination Moon.
Dave Damiani, you are a big part of this celebration. You have produced shows with legendary musicians. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the orchestra.
I guess about 5 or 6 years ago, I started working with the Sinatra family, and we did a Sinatra 100 show where I got George Benson and Jane Monheit, Johnny Mandel, who became a really good friend of mine, who wrote the song Shadow of Your Smile. And I started to kind of put these shows on, and I became friends with a lot of people in Atlantic City because there was a supper club there called the 500 Club that Skinny D'Amato ran with Frank Sinatra and Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. And over the last few years, I've met some of the best entertainers in the country, and I always bring a special guest. On Friday the 27th, I'm bringing out the great Joe Piscopo from Saturday Night Live, Days. He's a really great singer. He's a really good musician, too. Joe and I do a real fun show together. And then we also have Renee Olmsted, who is a Grammy-nominated singer, did 3 albums with Warner Brothers Records with David Foster. And we have a live little big band with 9 pieces, 3 saxophones, 2 trumpets, and a trombone. It's all like going back in time, literally, to go back to the old days of the supper club.
And congratulations. I see you have a brand new CD out.
Yeah, I have a new CD out called Bending the Standard. And basically what my concept was is I take the Great American Songbook and we put our little spin on it. We're excited to bring it out to New Orleans and really have a great time.
So what standards will you be bending in New Orleans?
I'm good friends with Jimmy McHugh's grandson. His name's Lee Newman. So we'll probably do On the Sunny Side of the Street, I Just Found Out About Love, and maybe a song called Let's Get Lost. I'm sure we'll do some of the great Sinatra hits, East of the Sun, West of the Moon, Count Basie, maybe some Nat King Cole classics. Pay homage to some of the great performers that actually played in the Blue Room, and we're just so honored to be part of this.
Now, tell me, Earl, what's on the menu?
We will start off with a specially prepared amuse-bouche that our chef has created. It is going to be English pea panna cotta, just as a little tease before we get started. The first course will be a classic Waldorf salad. Waldorf salad was conceived in the Waldorf Hotel in New York in the mid-century. That is a standard that's on all of our menus at the hotel, so we thought it would be appropriate.
And that's because the Roosevelt is a Waldorf Astoria property.
Indeed, we are. We're a Waldorf Astoria hotel. The next course will be a Louisiana Wagyu beef with wonderful sauce and accompaniments. And I did actually get a peek at what the dessert will be. And because a peach melba has been consistent in the hotel through the years, this is probably the most elegant version of peach melba I've ever seen in my life. It's char-grilled peaches, a raspberry, vanilla, and Chambord sponge cake, and the presentation is a work of art. It'll be an evening that we would like to have people talk about for years to come. And what we really want to do is honor the decades of dinner theater that the Blue Room has hosted over the years.
And how should folks dress for this experience?
Well, it is the Blue Room. I think something nostalgic would be appropriate. Upscale, I think it'll be a dressy event.
Dancing shoes?
Dancing shoes, absolutely.
Earl Lizana, director of catering with the Roosevelt New Orleans, and singer, songwriter, and band leader, Dave Damiani. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll build the dream house. Save the date. As the Roosevelt New Orleans celebrates its 125th anniversary with the Great American Speakeasy Supper Club Show in the historic Blue Room next Friday, July 27th. Lynn Arriel is one of the most acclaimed pianists and composers in jazz today, with a string of chart-topping recordings and widely praised performances at top festivals and venues around the world to her credit. She'll celebrate her latest CD, Give Us These Days, with a pair of performances at Snug Harbor Saturday night. WWNO's Fred Kasten has the story.
Lynn Arriel grew up in Milwaukee.
We had a toy piano that was about 2 or 3 feet wide, and it was plastic, but it made some kind of sounds, and I would play songs that I'd heard off the radio and make up little songs on my own. This is before morning kindergarten, so that was like 3 or 4, and I begged my parents to let me study piano, and they talked to the local piano teacher, and she said she's way too young, and of course now nobody would ever say that,
right.
You know, for any child.
Right.
They would start teaching them. She eventually let me start studying with her. And I would play things by ear. She would play the pieces for me every week. And the next week I would come back and play them, but not exactly as they were written. And then she figured out that I was playing by ear and wasn't learning how to sight read. So that was the beginning of my studying piano.
Once you started actual lessons, did you really like it?
Well, it was kind of a struggle because I would play by ear and my teacher wanted me to learn how to read notes. And so my music had a lot of different colored pens and circles around notes and arrows pointing to notes because I really didn't address what I should have. And this kind of went on for many years, even when I moved to another teacher. It was kind of, my music was extremely colorful. And yeah, and years later, since I didn't have anybody to help me develop the improvisational element of my music, I was playing classical music, and that's wonderful, but I think I needed another outlet, and that wasn't available. So I think I kind of shut down to music. I remember practicing just a few minutes every week, and I would sit and play at the piano, but I wouldn't practice the material that my teachers wanted me to. And so I finally decided that I wanted to quit because this just wasn't for me. And I went, my mother said, well, you have to talk to Sister Romana, who was my teacher then. She said, you're going to have to tell her. And I thought, oh, great. And so I said, Sister Romana, I really, I think I want to stop studying music. And she said, I can't let you do that.
Wow.
She said, you have a God-given talent and it would be a sin.
Lynn Arriel stayed with it. earning a bachelor's degree in music from the University of Wisconsin at Madison and master's at the Wisconsin Conservatory in Milwaukee.
Around age 25, I was finishing up a master's degree there at the conservatory, and I had a passing thought. I was walking down the street, and I just heard in my head one of many, many thoughts, you should study jazz. You'd be good. It wasn't I should study jazz, it was you. So I don't know who is talking, but it was just part of my consciousness, apparently. And even though I didn't even know what jazz was, I didn't know that it was improvised music. I just remember hearing a little bit of it in my college time, and I didn't make sense about it being, it didn't make sense that we were improvising over the chord changes of a song and making up new melodies all the time. And in my first lesson, the teacher put down Round Midnight and said, play that. And so I kind of stumbled through it, and he said, now make up new melodies. And I said, you're kidding. That's jazz? And he said, go ahead, do it, you know, and I kind of varied the melody, and he said, that's how you start. So that was my beginning with jazz.
That launched an intensive period of jazz study, practice, listening, and performing in Milwaukee. After 6 years or so, Ariel felt ready to test her talents in New York City. She started cold calling on club owners with her cassette tape, which can involve a lot of rejection.
But I managed to start to get work pretty quickly, which is really wonderful. Some of my first gigs in New York were with Harvey S. and Elliot Zygmunt and Jamil Nasser, who worked with Ahmad Jamal for many years, and Frank Gant, and Rufus Reed, and many other people who were available to play local gigs, even though they were all touring musicians. But when they were in New York, they just played local gigs just like everybody else. And I had to somehow, without a rehearsal, figure out what to say about each tune. To say, okay, we're going to do this on this tune, and keep it simple enough that it could be done without a rehearsal. And so I started thinking about different ways to present standards that I could, you know, easily convey to a band before we walked out on stage.
Ariel was in New York for 14 years, enjoyed much success touring and recording, then left the city for brief stints in Indiana and Orlando before landing in Jacksonville, Florida at the University of North Florida over a decade ago, where she's now a full professor in the UNF Jazz Studies Department and continues to tour and record. Lynn's latest CD, her 14th, came out in May. The title tune is Give Us These Days.
I wanted the album to have the spirit of a sense of a deep, profound appreciation for life, for every day, for all the experiences that we have. We all have challenges. We all have times that are extremely difficult, and we have joyful times, and a lot of other experiences in between. And I wanted to convey that in this song and in this album.
Another Ariel original on the disc is Appassionata.
It has a flamenco feel, and it's very kind of a very driving song. I wanted to imagine flamenco dancers who were stomping on the floor, and I wanted to kind of create an energy of passion as a very important part of life. And it's quite rhythmic. It's very interactive between the piano and the drum.
Lynn Ariel has done great versions of Beatles classics in the past and scores again on Give Us These Days with Paul McCartney's Let It Be.
I found that kind of at the end of getting my material together. I needed another tune, and it just came to me. You know, this is Paul McCartney's song after having a dream where he was very stressed and very anxious about something, and his mother apparently came to him in the dream and said, let it be.
Lynn Ariel returns to New Orleans for a pair of shows at Snug Harbor Saturday night, July 21st, fronting a terrific trio with James Singleton bass and John Vidakovich drums.
I'm so looking forward to playing with them. I played with Jim Singleton before, and this will be the first time playing with Johnny, and he's totally awesome. I'm really thrilled that he was available. And, you know, I haven't played at Snug Harbor for quite a while, and it is such an incredible club, and Jason is really wonderful and he's created such a great environment for music and for musicians, and I always look forward to playing there, and it's been far too long, so I can't wait to come back.
Lynn Ariel and her trio play Snook Harbor Saturday night, July 21st, shows at 8 and 10 p.m. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Caston.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Top emerging pianists from around the globe are heading to NOLA as the Musical Arts Society of New Orleans presents the 27th New Orleans International Piano Competition and Keyboard Festival. MASNEF's Executive Director, Kara McCool-Wolf, is here to talk about this grand celebration of the piano. Welcome back.
Thanks, Diane. It's always good to talk with you.
This is a major platform for jumpstarting the careers of up-and-coming pianists. What are you most proud of as the 27th competition gets underway?
Well, we love that we're able to bring these young artists into New Orleans and provide these opportunities for them to perform for the public and build audiences and gain exposure, but also we offer cash prizes, but also performance prizes. So especially the top three finalists, they're able to come back and perform with the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra, the Acadiana Symphony, the Baton Rouge Symphony, and they gain a lot of valuable experience and actually make connections that serve them well as they go on their careers.
And the emerging pianist in this year's competition, who are they and how were they selected?
Well, we received over 150 applications for the preliminary recorded round, and they all sent in recordings or videos, actually. We had a preliminary jurors narrow that pool down to 29 and then again to 12 who were invited to come. And these 12 actually represent seven different countries.
What were the judges looking for?
Well, it was a hard task for these judges to choose out of this big pool of 153 applicants because the level of playing was extremely high across the board. But they listened for musicality, technical excellence, what spoke to them personally as well. There's always an element of that. And just who they thought would be best representative of our competition as a whole, who just presented the music in the most beautiful ways.
So tell us about this experience. What can we look forward to this year?
Well, of course, we have the semifinal round one and two, where you'll hear all 12 competitors twice. And that's actually something that's special about our competition. We don't drop down from 12 in the semifinal round one to, say, six or whatever. Everyone gets a chance to play two times. So you will hear both of those rounds, and then on Friday night, the judges will narrow the 12 down to three, and those three finalists will perform for the gold, silver, and bronze medals on Sunday afternoon. So you'll hear all those competitors, but there's so much more going on during the week as well, actually. Our guest artists, Alexander Matuskin and Chloe Kiffer, will be performing a recital on Sunday, July 22nd, 4 o'clock p.m., also at Loyola's Roussel Hall. And that recital is going to be a lot of fun. The music is fabulous. It's an all Stravinsky and Ravel recital, actually, which was inspired by a book that was written by one of Stravinsky's students that explored their relationship. That recital is definitely one that you don't want to miss. And just one note about one of the pieces on that recital that I think is really special. So Alexander Matuskin is a former gold medalist of our piano competition. He's a dear friend of our organization. He's been back to New Orleans many times to perform and be on the jury.
He's a Russian pianist?
Yes, Russian, and he is an American citizen now, actually. But we're very proud of him as our former medalist, and he's been a wonderful ambassador for MASNO. He's on the faculty of the Manhattan School of Music. And, of course, he travels around the world with an active concert career. One of the pieces he's performing is his own transcription of Stravinsky's Firebird Suite. This piece is really cool because he was commissioned to transcribe it to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Firebird, but also to go along with a cartoon called Who Stole the Mona Lisa? So it was the 100th anniversary of when the Mona Lisa was stolen, and so he'll be playing the music from that little film which should be a lot of fun. And another interesting thing about Sasha, as we call him, and Chloe, is that they just got married last week.
Oh, my
goodness. So not only are they wonderful artists and they play well together, but they're also husband and wife now, which makes it a lot of fun and more special, too. They'll be playing works for piano and violin, some Ravel works, and then he'll be playing some solo Stravinsky works.
And the other component of this celebration is the Keyboard Festival. Tell us what happens there.
Well, yes, the Keyboard Festival and Piano Institute is really exciting. This year, I think we have 35 students, junior high, high school, college age students. Some are local, but many have come from around the world. I think we even have a couple of students from Hong Kong this year. And they come to study with our wonderful faculty, who is also internationally renowned. This event happens annually, and they'll be here taking one-on-one private lessons, but there will be 8 master classes and 2 presentations that will be open to the public and free of charge to attend, and we encourage everyone to come. As well, there is a student showcase recital on Saturday, July the 28th, that is also open to the public to attend, where all of the students from the Piano Institute will be performing solo works. And there is a concerto competition, which is going to be held on Thursday morning at 9 a.m., which will feature the students of the Piano Institute, and that's really exciting. The winner of that is invited to come back to New Orleans in the fall to perform with the Civic Symphony.
There's a lot going on. MassNOS Executive Director Kara McCool-Wolf, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Diane.
MassNO presents its 27th New Orleans International Piano Competition, Keyboard Festival, and Piano Institute, Sunday, July 22nd through Sunday, July 29th at Loyola University. More info is online at masno.org. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation and from Christwood Retirement Center in Covington. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.